Samiti prahu yogam tam viti pandava yogam tam viti pandava nahi asanyasta sankalpa nahi anyasta sankalpa yogi bhavati kashtana Yogi bhavati kashtana Yam sanyasam iti prahur Yogam tam viti pandava Nahi asanyastak sankalpa Yogi bhavati kashtana Yam Vat Sanyasam, renunciation. Iti, thus. Prahu, they say. Yogam, linking with the Supreme. Tam, that. Viti, you must know. Pandava, O son of Pandu. Na, never. He, certainly. Asanyasta, without giving up. Sankalpa, self-satisfaction. Yogi, a mystic transcendentalist. Bhavati, becomes. Kashchana, anyone. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Sound system is not working?
No. It's like as much as you talk like that,
there is no.
There's nothing.
No electricity now?
I have no idea. Somehow there's nothing. It's very hard.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Sound engineer there.
Awesome.
But you should know. Okay. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai. It's better now?
Yes.
Understandable? What is called renunciation, sannyas, is the same as yoga, or linking oneself with the Supreme. For no one can become a yogi unless he renounces the desire for sense gratification. Purport. Real sannyas yoga or bhakti means that one should know his constitutional position as the living entity and act accordingly. The living entity has no separate independent identity. He is the marginal energy of the Supreme. When he is entrapped by material energy, he is conditioned. And when he is in Krishna consciousness, or when he is Krishna conscious or aware of the spiritual energy, then he is in his real and natural state of life. Therefore, when one is in complete knowledge, one ceases all material sense gratification or renounces all kinds of sense gratificatory activities. This is practiced by the yogis who restrain the senses from material attachment. But a person in Krishna consciousness has no opportunity to engage his senses in anything which is not for the purpose of Krishna. Therefore, a Krishna conscious person is simultaneously a sannyasi and a yogi. The purpose of knowledge and of restraining the senses as prescribed in the Jnana and Yoga processes is automatically served in Krishna consciousness. If one is unable to give up the activities of his selfish nature, then Jnana and Yoga are of no avail. The real aim is for a living entity to give. The real aim is for a living entity to give up all selfish satisfaction and to be prepared to satisfy the Supreme. A Krishna conscious person has no desire for any kind of self-enjoyment. He is always engaged for the enjoyment of the Supreme. One who has no information of the Supreme must therefore be engaged in self-satisfaction, because no one can stand on the platform of inactivity. All these purposes are perfectly served by the practice of Krishna consciousness. Yam sanyasam iti prahur yogam tam vidi pandava nahiya sanyasta sankalpo yogi bhavati kaschana. What is called renunciation is the same as yoga, or linking oneself with the Supreme, for no one can become a yogi unless he renounces the desire for sense gratification. Om agyati maranyasya kananchana salakyam chakshur unmilitam yena tasma shri gurave namaha. Sichitani manopistam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupa katamayam dadati svapatantikam mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayati karim yat kripatam maham vande shri gurum tena taranam. Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this sixth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is describing the yoga process. Although Arjuna himself, he was not a yogi, he was a kshatriya, he was a warrior. The Bhagavad Gita, or the lesson, was spoken on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So it's not in general a place where to perform yoga, or to do some austerities or penances. So a battlefield is mostly a place of interest of two opposition sides, everyone has a claim for their possession, for their rights. Therefore they fight with each other, and the winner he will have a lot of possessions of everyone else who will die and can enjoy a lot of all these possessions. The other one is the loser, the victim. The other one is the winner. So that's the material world. Even in Kurukshetra there was such a war. But the difference between a war that time and the war today is today we have not Krishna in the wars, who is speaking Bhagavad Gita. There is no Arjuna, there are no Arjunas, no Yudhisthiras. Mostly untrained people who have no proper culture or conduct or behavior. Anyway, don't want to speak about that too much, it's not the topic. Arjuna was a qualified man. He was a warrior, kshatriya, Aryan. He knew what is culture, what is to be done, and what is not to be done. And besides of that, he was Krishna's dear friend, Krishna's dear devotee. Arjuna was fully aware who Krishna was. Although he was his friend, he also understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is Bhagavan, and that he had this special privilege that he is also his friend. So this Arjuna he knew, therefore he is in Sakya mixed with Aishwarya. He has a friendship, relationship with Krishna, and also is aware that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead simultaneously. And he accepted Krishna, the Supreme Lord, as his guru, because Krishna is the ultimate guru. Nobody can be guru without being empowered by the Lord. That's the process, that's the consciousness. The speaker never thinks I'm the speaker. He understands I'm the instrument. Like, I want to read to you one of the prayers of Shukadev Goswami from second canto, before he started to speak about the creation, to Parikshit Maharaj, who was very curious about the Lord's creation, how Krishna, the Lord, is maintaining this universe, how he creates the universe, how he enters the universe, and what he is doing in this universe, and how ultimately this universe is annihilated, and also what is the purpose of the universe. So this question is very complicated question. Because Shukadev Goswami, he was not a speculator, and he was not a scientist in the sense of scientists today who want to give a scientific explanation of our essential, of our own contemplation and observation, how we think or consider the universe was created. This is speculative. So Shukadev Goswami, as a great Vedic authority of Bhagavatam, he wanted to speak about the truth of the universe and about the Lord and the purpose of the universe without a speculative interpretation or observation, with our imperfect senses and imperfect mind. So he wanted to give an explanation, not by him, but he prayed to the Lord, please ornament my words so that my audience will understand it. So this is the proper prayer. Like Srila Prabhupada told, whenever a devotee speaks about Krishna, or he undergoes some different activities in devotional service, he prays to the Lord, so that the Lord uses him as an instrument. Therefore he prays, Om Agyati Maranyasya Si Chaitanya Mano Bhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Mukham Karoti Vachalam, and so on and so on. There's so many prayers. But these two or three prayers are most important before we start any service with our body, with our mind, and with our words, so that we can have the blessings, so that our mission or our undertaking, the process we are trying to perform, will be successful. Yeah. Because it can only be successful if we are connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's the ultimate purpose of yoga. Yoga is the one to connect with the Lord in yoga, to merge with Him or become one with Him. But the devotee, he wants to connect with Krishna, to serve Him, to become instrumental in the Lord's, according to act, to act, that he act under the Lord's direction and interest, for his interest. So therefore, the devotee's oneness and the yogi's oneness is different. The yogi's oneness, he wants to merge in Paramatma or in Brahman, but the yogi wants to merge and with the interest, with the desire of the Lord. He cannot live without sankalpa. The word sankalpa is used here in Sanskrit, desire. So everyone have a desire. Nitya nityanam chetanas chetananam ekubahunam yovidadati kaman. The living entity always have to have desire. If a living entity is desireless or have no more desire, he's a stone. He's dead. That means it's not a very juicy, very nice life, very tasty life. So it's a very sad life without sankalpa, without desire. So yogi have desire to merge with the Lord, become one with Him, to become God, or someone even to become God himself. But the devotee always understands, and I'm an eternal part and parcel of the Lord, and I only can be happy and satisfied if I engaging in the interest or in the service of the Lord according to the Lord's direction. So this is therefore the yoga and the renunciation, the sannyas of a devotee. Therefore Krishna wanted that Arjuna also takes up this yoga process of acting for the pleasure of the Lord without being attached to the result. This is sannyas yoga. But in a bhakti way, not in an impersonalistic way or selfish way. To become God or become enjoyer yourself, to attain different mystical powers, astasiddhis. So devotee has no interest in this thing. Natanamna chanamna sundarim kavitam vachakadisha kamaye. Mama chamani chamani shvare bhavata bhakti rahai to kit vai. As Lord Chaitanya was praying, O my Lord of the universe, by engaging you in devotional service, I don't desire dhanam, opulences, money, rewards, nachanam, or followers, or sundari, or wife and family, and children, and education, kavita, jagadisa kamaye. I don't have any kind of karma, any kind of desire or greed or lust in this direction. My only desire is janmani chamanishvare bhavata bhakti rahaitu kitvayi, to serve you uninterruptedly without false motivation, word after word, life after life. Janmani chamanishvare bhavata bhakti rahaitu kitvayi. So this is the aspiration of a devotee. His sankalpa, he takes that sankalpa, that desire, what is in harmony with Guru and Krishna's desire. This is actually real desirelessness. And this is akama. This is without lusty desire or selfish interest. Like Lord Chaitanya told, Mukti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakalya Shanta, Krishna Bhakta Niskama Atayeva Shanta. Those who are Bukti Mukti and Siddhis, who are after these activities of sense gratification, karmis, those who want to merge in Brahman, Mukti, Bukti, Siddhi, the yogis who want to attain mystical perfections, they ultimately cannot be peaceful. They must be ashanta because they have so many desires. Maybe not the desire for gross sense gratification like an ordinary materialist, but they have a desire, you know, for siddhis, for mystical perfections, for mystic powers, controlling other people, getting higher sense gratification on higher platform, etherical platform, or in the heavenly platform, or in the platform of even higher than that, where the liberated sages, rishis are living. So that is the aspiration of the yogi. So, but he still has a desire, selfish desire, that actually mostly keeps in this material world. And the maximum what he can attain is liberation. In Brahman or in becoming one with the Purusha. But the devotee, his shanta, he is really peaceful because he has no self-interest, no sankalpa for himself. He only has a desire to fulfill the desire of the Lord. And the desire of the Lord is revealed through the scriptures and Guru and Sadhu. This is authority. Guru Sadhu Shastra Chitete Koryaika. Besides that, there is no proper authority. Everything else is fallible. It's not perfect. And And to follow Guru Sadhu Shastra, this is the Vedic process. It's a process of parampara. So anyway, Shukadev Goswami, he made 13 beautiful prayers that he to request the Lord to empower him to speak about the creation and about the Lord, how he enters in this creation and everything that is connected with it. And the 23rd verse, it's practically the second last verse from the second canto, 4th chapter. He prays, Bhutai mahatpirya ima puro vibhur nirmaya sheteya tamushu purushaha punkte gunan sotasya sotasyatmaka solang krishishta bhagavan vacham sime. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who enlivens the materially created bodies of the elements by lying down within the universe, and who in his Purusha incarnation causes the living being to be subjected to the 16 divisions of material modes, which are his generator, be pleased in decorate my statements. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a nice comment to that verse. He says, may the Lord ornament, he paraphrases this prayer in his purport. May the Lord ornament my words by his presence in them. Just as he creates the bodies for the living beings with the material elements and dwells in them, but as the Purusha, being the life of the 16 elements, enlivens them without being contaminated. Now may my words, created by him, by his presence in them, create beauty with literary ornaments and qualities invoking madhurya, sweetness, karuna, mercy and kindness, and other rasas to bring joy to the listeners. May the Lord ornament my words by being present in them, just as the Lord, after creating bodies for humans and others, personally resides in those bodies and makes them successful. Having created the bodies, Imapura, by the Mahatattva and other elements, he dwells, Shete, in those bodies, Amushu, as the Antaryami, Supersoul. The purpose of the Purusha is in this way proved. He can do this because as the Purusha, he enlivens the gunas in the form of the 11 senses and 5 gross elements without contamination, or without becoming contaminated, since he enjoys by his glances. May he also enliven the qualities of my words. As the bodies composed of the 16 elements, sodashatmaka, endowed with ornaments and clothing, but without the Lord's presence are untouchable for the devotee, may my words not be without your presence. So this is very nice. The whole universe looking very attractive, composed of these 16 elements. But without that the Lord is present within it, it is useless. In the same way, even if you have a beautiful body with very powerful mind, intellect and senses, and nicely dressed and ornamented, but if you have not Krishna consciousness in the heart, and using this body as an instrument in the service of the Lord, then the body is useless. He's dead. although breathing. That's stated of Hari Bhakti Sudhataya. Bhagava Bhakti Hinasya Chatisha Strascha Chapastapa Apramasya Dehasya Mandanam Lokaranjanam. So that is stated without Bhakti, Bhagava Bhakti Hina. If Bhakti is absent in a person's life, then even if he has a very nice birth in an aristocratic family, jati, shastra, is very educated in scriptures, shastra, japa, maybe knows how to recite many Vedic hymns and prayers, japa and tapa and renunciation. These kind of austerities and everything described now are only decoration on a dead body without the presence of bhakti. So bhakti yoga, actually yoga or renunciation, detachment from material sense gratification, is the goal of all yogas, of Ashtanga yoga, of karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga. Jnana yoga means Ashtanga yoga. Karma yoga means yoga in action. Bhakti yoga means devotional activities, surrendered with love and devotion to the Lord, also in action. So the goal of all yogas is the same. The means or the sadhana, more or less the same. Two of them only are mechanical, and the other one is devotional. Therefore, the devotee doesn't accept the process of karma and jnana yoga without ultimately engaging it favorably in bhakti yoga. Maybe in the beginning karma and jnana is mixed with bhakti, but the ultimate goal is to attain the pure bhakti, unalloyed devotion of Krishna, to Krishna. So this is the goal. And therefore the spiritual master and the scriptures, they want to teach us how to act in a detached way in the service of Krishna. Now, long time we try to become detached, but it's not so easy. It's not so easy because mostly we try to become detached in a mechanical way, just by sadhana. Because we think if I perform sadhana bhakti, the rules and regulations, rising very early in the morning, taking bath, going to Mangala Artik, chanting japa 16 rounds, doing Guru Puja, going to Srimad Bhagavatam class, engaging devotional service according to my duty in the temple or in the mission. So if we are engaging in this way, we hope our senses will become pacified, and the mind will become pacified, and we can have self-control and undisturbed senses, engaged fully in the service of Krishna. Yes, for some times it maybe works, but if we only stick to sadhana without going deeper in the process of bhakti yoga, that means also to have the desire that actually these attachments in ourselves be rooted out. This is very important. It's not that we only hope that they will be rooted out or become purified, but actually secretly we still have a little attachment to them. So we have to have this desire also to become free of attachments. And Krishna ultimately responds with desire. Desire. Desire is everything what we have. Because of desire we are in this material world. It's not Krishna's fault that we are in this material world. It's because of our independent desire we're coming here. And therefore we can also come out of this material world with a desire. You only have to learn how to desire proper. So to connect the desire connected with Krishna. And therefore it is Guru, like Srila Prabhupada told, he gave us the desire. He didn't invite him. He implanted the desire in us, the bhakti plant, the bhakti seed, so that we can grow up in the bhakti process. So it is the Guru's mercy. You don't even have a desire. If you read so many of Prabhupada's biographies nowadays, you can see most of the devotees who joined, they had not a desire for ultimately liberation. They only were searching, they were frustrated of materialistic lifestyle, and they liked this chanting, they liked Swamiji, Srila Prabhupada, as a personality who is very sober, who is very effulgent, very special, completely different than all of us. So they became very attracted to him, and they became especially attracted to the chant, to the Hare Krishna mantra. And although in the beginning they didn't know about principles, they still had so many habits, so many bad habits. They didn't know what is the goal, what is the sadhana. Prabhupada, he didn't give them all this in the beginning. Later on, he gave the more and more standard. But then, because they became already ready, purified by the chanting and by the association of sadhu, devotee, sadhu sangha, sarva shastra koi, lava matra sadhu sangha, sarva siddhi hoi. So in this way, the heart changed. Without their knowing, they became so much purified. Because they had some attachment to the person, to the devotee, to a Bhagavata devotee, and some attachment to some aspect of Krishna consciousness, especially the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Philosophy they didn't understand so much. They could also not understand Prabhupada so much in the beginning, his dialect. So it was difficult for them, so many Sanskrit words. So it was very difficult. But still, because they had faith in Prabhupada, they became attached in Prabhupada, to Prabhupada. So therefore, their heart is changing. So it is the faith. The faith in Guru, Adau Guru Ashraya, that we have this firm faith in Guru, in the words of Guru, in the process what Guru is giving. Even if we don't understand, but we stay, we follow at least something. And then everything will become more and more clear. You can never understand everything. Even Brahma told, I cannot understand. Previously I thought I understood Krishna. I know Krishna. But now Krishna gave me a nice lesson. I can say I don't understand now. So this is the real fact. Who can understand Krishna? Who can understand the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? The glories of his devotees, the glory of Bhakti Yoga. It's very, very transcendental process, and it becomes revealed. Bhavati. It becomes bestowed upon the devotee, the person who tries to practice according to the guidelines of a pure devotee and the scriptures. even in the beginning, maybe not proper understanding, not detached, still attached. But because the practice is so powerful, it changes our heart completely and makes us completely attached to pure devotee and to the process and the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, to the Srimad Bhagavatam, to the Vaishnavas, to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that is actually the price, or how say, the recipe. If we become attached, because we have to be attached to something, as long as we are not attached and we try to become detached, it's impossible. We have to become attached positively. This is Narottam Das Thakur singing in Prema Bhakti Chandrika. He's praying, "Oh my mind, service through Sri Hari is rarely achieved. Why then you not worship him? You are simply suffering due to material bondage. Abandon all fruitive activities and religious duties prescribed in the Vedas and serve the lotus feet of the Lord with devotion." Is okay with the speed or a little slower? The result of material enjoyment are dangerous. Why do you not worship Sri Nandanandana, the Lord of Braj, and the abode of ecstatic bliss? Desires for heavenly planets, liberation, and enjoying the material world are hellish. They ruin one's human form of life. Do not put faith in this temporary material body, because Yamaraj, the Lord of Death, is waiting next to you. The flow of karma is just like the ocean of sorrow. Consider this properly and worship the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna with attachment under the guidance of Sadhu and Shastra. Fruitive activities and mental speculation are like pots of poison. Those who drink this poison, thinking it to be nectar, fall into the cycle of repeated birth and death. Such persons eat abominable things and their human form of life is spoiled. You follow? Huh? You also? Those who have not developed attachment for Sri Radha Krishna, not knowing the process of loving devotional service, consider others as their Lord and protector. Such people do not inquire about devotional service. Rather, they engage in pseudo-meditation. Their lives are useless and insignificant. And another place, Narottam Thakur also is saying, he takes the... This chapter is called Ekanta Bhakti. The firm determination to serve Krishna only, without any other interest. I will serve Govinda with all my senses, and I will not worship demigods and goddesses. This is the highest principle of devotional service. All other processes are simply born of pride, and I feel great pain in my heart by seeing them. The six enemies, lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride and envy, and the five senses of sight, sound, smell, taste and touch reside in my body, but I am unable to control them. Although I hear and understand repeatedly that one should serve Krishna with all his senses, still I cannot accept this fact with firm determination. I will engage, then he takes this firm determination to engage these bad qualities in the service of the Lord. He says, I will engage lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and pride in the proper places. In this way, I will defeat the enemies and will, and with ecstasy in my heart, I will worship Govinda with all, without difficulty. I will engage my lust in eagerness to serve Krishna. So we should be lusty. Our karma, our lust should be transformed in eagerness to serve Krishna. And I will use my anger against those who are envious of the devotees. I will be greedy to hear the topics of Hari in the association of the devotees. So greed also should be used for Krishna Katha in the association of devotees. And I feel be illusioned if I fail to achieve my worshipable Lord. And I will feel proud to chant the glories of Krishna. In this way, I will engage them in their respective duties. Otherwise, independent lusty desires, which are the source of all unwanted things, will always disturb the path of devotional service. What harm can lusty desires and anger do to a sadhaka of devotional service, of bhakti, if he associates with devotees? Anger spoils everything. Therefore, I will always give it up. I will give up anger and greed and illusion. I will control the six enemies with the help of my mind while remembering Lord Krishna. Because the mind is a sixth sense, so if the mind is attached to Krishna, then all the other senses, they will follow. All the enemies will run away by hearing the sound vibration of Govinda's name, just as a deer flees upon hearing the roar of a lion. One who performs unalloyed devotional service will feel great happiness and all his dangers will be vanquished. Therefore, my dear mind, do not endeavor for bad association, profit, adoration, and distinction, but always remember the lotus feet of Govinda. Please engage in loving devotional service with great happiness, and all your dangers will be destroyed. Please give up all duplicity, illusory activities, and the search for bodily happiness. Do not be attached to the worship of various demigods. Mundane love and affection for material relationships attracts everyone to their respective illusions, and thus advancement on the path of devotional service is checked or difficult to go. So, as last, I also want to read you some song from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. From Sharanagati, Dainya, humility. Actually, not this one first. Oh, Dainya. Okay, let's do Dainya. Oh Lord, I'm a fool with a wicked heart, threw myself into this world of burdened debt. Then you send a great soul, one of your own associates, to rescue me. Seeing me so fallen and wretched, he took pity on me, approached me and said, O poor fallen soul, Please hear this good news, news that will make your heart glad. Sri Krishna Chaitanya descended to Navadvip to deliver you. How many poor people like you has he already carried across the ocean of burden dead? To protect the Veda's promise, he came as a Brahmana's son with a golden complexion, bearing the name Mahaprabhu, and accompanied by his avaduta brother Nityananda, he made Nadia wild with bliss. Nanda's son came as Chaitanya Goswami, giving the gift of his own holy name. He saved the world. Please go to him and accept your salvation. Hearing these words, I ran, O Lord, to your feet, weeping and weeping. Bhaktivinoda tells his story. Then Bhajana Lalasa, hankering for devotional service. O Lord Krishna, falling into this material world, I became helpless. I see no help but you. I take shelter of your feet, which are the help of the helpless. I have no pious deeds, knowledge, spiritual activities, or devotional service. You are very merciful. I am a poor beggar standing before you. I wish your causeless mercy. Bending together the urge to speak, the mind's demands, the actions of anger, and the urges of the tongue, belly, and genitals have cast me adrift in this world of burden dead. They all torture me. Many times I tried to control them. I gave up all hope. O shelter of the shelterless, I called your name. You are my only shelter. So this prayer is very nice meditation to meditate every day or recite as much as possible, so that we can enter in this mood of the great devotees, self-realized devotees. It's called Satuvritti. Srila Rupa Goswami, Nectar of Instruction, he describes as six favorable items: Utsaha, Nishchaya, Darya, Tata Karma, Parvartana, Sangatyaga, Satuvritti. Satuvritti is first enthusiasm, then endeavor with confidence, be patient. Follow the process of hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna. Tata karma pravartanat. So the devotee is always engaged. Tata karma pravartanat. In bhakti yoga, it's not an inactive process, it's an active process. Srila Prabhupada gave us so much service with body, mind, and words to always be engaged in tata karma pavartanat, sangot yaga, giving up association of devotees, and follow satuvritti. Satuvritti, that means the perfect example, the example of the mahachans, the example of the realized devotees. So to follow the examples of the acharyas, like Narottam Das Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So they gave us so many nice instructions and songs. And Srila Prabhupada actually told, I actually wrote this in Yamuna's book, from Yamuna Devi. Prabhupada told that he cannot always take care for his disciples. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, they're very, very merciful, and he will pray for them, to them, you know, that they always will guide you and will take care for you. And he gave the example that the father sometimes is strict, and but the grandfather, the grandfathers or the grand spiritual masters, they're very, very merciful, very kind. And therefore, they always are guiding us. They're giving us inspiration. And we can learn from Yamuna Devi and also from other devotees who follow this process of bhakti, that one has to really take shelter in these songs and prayers of our previous acharyas, especially Bhaktivinoda Thakur and also Narottam Das Thakur, because these prayers are so deep and so realized, so that if we are reciting them, we can enter in the mood of the mentality and the thoughts of these great devotees. And that's how our heart naturally will change, our mind will change to a better, and we will become inspired to even without our personal endeavor. Because our personal endeavor fails. But if we are endeavoring to follow the footsteps of Satuvritti, of the devotees, if we follow the conduct of the devotees, then that will lead to perfection. So we have no other duty to do, nothing else to do, only follow Satuvritti, the conduct of the devotees. Try to follow them. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Bhakti Aloka, he gives a nice explanation, 40 pages of Satuvritti, giving examples of all of Lord Chaitanya's associates and of his own teachings, how Satuvritti is applied for the sannyasis and for the grihastha Vaishnavas. And by hearing about these devotees of Lord Chaitanya, how they follow the proper conduct in bhakti, in devotional service, although they were situated also as grihasthas, not every one of them, most of them were actually not sannyasis or renunciates, they were grihasthas, and how they ideally engaged in Lord Chaitanya's service. In the Sankirtan mission, and therefore the results was the same. According to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, doesn't matter if you're a grihastha or a sannyasi, because both of them are engaged in the service of Krishna according to their nature, according to their mentality. They engage in devotional service, and of both of them become perfect. And ultimately attain the mercy of Guru and Krishna and all the previous acharyas. So we can only pray for the mercy of the previous acharyas, from our own spiritual master, the sadhus, the Vaishnavas. That's how Krishna is working. We cannot directly go in contact with Krishna. We are not Arjuna. We are not Uddhava. But if we are associating with the sadhus and also the previous acharya sadhus, Satuvritti, and they were always meditating and praying like them and hearing about their lives, then our heart consciousness gradually will become changed and become recipients of Lord Krishna's mercy. That's what Krishna tells to Arjuna. He told to Arjuna that I'm not in Vaikuntha, I'm not in the heart of the yogis, I'm wherever my devotees are situated, there I am. And he also told, that's also from Adi Purana, he who considers himself my devotee is not my devotee, only the devotee of my devotee is my real devotee. So that's how, therefore the devotee is who is instrumental in the service of Krishna, like Shukadev Goswami is praying here, that he is ornamented with Krishna's presence, his mind, his words, his heart, then that personality, it's actually Krishna who is, he manifests himself through such a person. Of course, he's not Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's empowered by Krishna's energy, by Krishna's personality. Krishna Shakti Vina Nare Tara Pravartana. And therefore, to associate with devotees always who are fixed in devotional service, this is the perfection of life. So I stop here. Maybe any question? Yes?
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, providing this noble opportunity in this Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for providing us this golden opportunity. Here is mentioned in the shloka verse by Lord Krishna, Yogi Bhavati Kanchan, a mystic transcendentalist becomes anyone. He doesn't mention Lord Krishna, you have to wear a particular kind of dress and you have put on your forehead a particular kind of tilak. Why all these are created? Why Lord Krishna says directly a mystic transcendentalist becomes anyone? He doesn't mention which kind of dress you have to wear. We say that he is in Karmi dress, he is in Vaishno dress. Why it is differentiating the society? Please sprinkle and mention regarding this. Hare Krishna.
Actually, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he's pioneer of the Sankhita movement in the modern world. He actually didn't put much stress on dress and external symbols of Vaishnavism. Because his concern was everything has to come from inside. If the change is not inside, if you're dressing yourself outside, paka, like Vaishnava, but inside you are dirty, like a hawk or dog, then this is cheating. This is cheating. Because we are not on the level, but we are externally presenting ourselves like that. So therefore, he made the point: the external symbols is not it's not important. The main thing is that we practice bhakti yoga very deeply, and this sadhana of hearing, chanting, remembering Krishna deep in our heart, and this will make the change, and then automatically the external things may also appear. But they may appear or not appear. It's a secondary thing. It's not secondary thing means it's not that it's not important. Like Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning, when he came to America, he came to the Lower East Side, to the Bowery first, then to Lower East Side, to the, how we say, to 26th Second Avenue. And you know how the, what kind of people there were, these young people there. They were the new hippie generation, very dirty, no principles, only love and sex and drugs. That was the principle, freedom. But they considered this freedom in the wrong way, because they actually didn't become free, they became more and more entangled. So Prabhupada, he gave them first mantra, the taste for mantra, and his personal association. He gave them the message, and gradually they adopted the dress and the symbols of Vaishnavism. But if we are now forcing people to become externally Vaishnavas, take the Vaishnava symbols, but internally they're still very mundane attached, then that will not help much. Of course, if we are joining and if we are living in the temple, nowadays anyway, it's more strict. It's not like in previous time, everyone immediately could wear saffron and all the Vaishnava symbols. So it's a testing period. Saffron, it's not easily given nowadays. So you have to first qualify yourself and prove yourself as brahmachari. And only then wear saffron, because especially saffron is renunciate dress. So it's a symbol, it's also a symbol, but still symbols are also in one sense important, because we people live with symbols, according to our dress and behavior and external behavior. So that's how cultures are appearing and how they act with each other. But this is secondary. Without Krishna consciousness, this is only dress and symbols. And they will not help you to become Krishna conscious if you not take the direct process, Shravanam, Kirtanam, and Sattva Sangha, and Bhagavat Katha, like that. This is the most important. You agree?
So much thank you for sharing on this very deep and sincere point. We all are highly grateful to you. And before the Janmashtami 2 days, we are enlightened by your spiritual sharing. So nice, Shatru Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Okay, there is a question, like you just mentioned, because of our desire to be independent of Krishna.
But half of the class you were sleeping, you know, how we can ask question? Half of the class you were sleeping, how we can ask question? But the last part, yeah, babe.
No?
About the first part or middle part or last part?
First part is you just mentioned that because of our desire to be independent of Krishna, we are in this materialistic world. Only one is a Krishna conscious person, what kind of ideal desires, you know, a devotee should have, you know, so that he can perform his devotion, so he can be up to Krishna consciousness in a better way and be an ideal, you know, devotee. What kind of desires devotee should have?
I don't completely understand. Can you speak more?
Yeah, basically when you mentioned that because of our desires to be independent of Krishna, we are in this materialistic world.
Yeah.
Ideally, if one wants to be an ideal Krishna consciousness person or a nice devotee, what kind of desires, you know, one should have?
Yeah, I spoke about it.
Huh?
Yeah, but when he was sleeping, you know, I say, you missed it because you were sleeping.
No, I was thinking, I was listening, you were not sleeping. Yeah.
No, you were sleeping.
No.
I saw you.
No,
but you maybe were in yoga nidra, mystic sleep.
No, I saw not mystic sleep. I was not listening to you.
But I mentioned everything, to engage the desire of the previous acharya, of our guru, and make it our desire. That's how Krishna's desire is expressed. Through the devotees. So they engage us in devotional service. They give us desire. We don't know how to desire properly. We only desire nonsense. But Guru sets our proper desire in our heart. And that is yoga. That's oneness with Krishna, to become one with the desire of Krishna. Sarvadharman Paritya. We can recite all the instructions, you know, what Krishna gives. Satatam kiyatayantamam yadantascha dritavrata. Manmana bhava mat bhakto matyachimam namas. So many instructions Krishna gives. And Rupa Goswami giving so many instructions, nectar of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in Upadeshamrita. And this is our guidelines. This is our direction. Mahajanas, the old ones and the modern ones, who are followers of Lord Chaitanya, they're giving us direction. And we have to it's advised that we follow according to their guidelines, according to their direction, how they desired. And then our desire will automatically become a transcendental desire. Then your mind and intelligence will become transcendental, and only then you can understand Krishna. You cannot understand Krishna with material senses and mind and intellect. Not possible. Nayamatma pravachanena labhya namedaya nabahuna shrutena. Not possible. Only if the Lord is satisfied within your heart, He may reveal Himself out of His causeless mercy. Kindness, therefore, this sweetness and karuna, this rasa, that's Krishna's aspect, is that He's very sweet and that He's very kind, very merciful. These two main aspects of what Krishna makes very special than any other form of the Lord. Understand? There's no form as sweet as Krishna, Madhurya and in Karunya, in mercy. Then there was no avatar practically who could deliver the demons, his enemies, deliver them from their demoniac life and made them associates in Goloka, like Putana. Other avatars that could only give them liberation. But Krishna gave them place in Vaikuntha or in Goloka even, like Putana. Accepting her as like a mother, like an Amba. There is no other Godhead who has the same mercy and sweetness as Krishna from all avatars. Therefore, that's the proof that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Svayam Bhagavan. And this you should understand and accept. Don't let it turn around in your mind and speculate about it, but apply it in your life, and then you will see this change in heart. And you will become completely happy, and you will have a purpose in life. Not only in this life, eternal. We don't think in one life. People have so many problems. I'm unemployed. This problem, that problem. Devotees don't have problem. They have no unemployment. Not only in this life, eternally.